You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. I'm Daniel Bage. Tae Liam Wee is the chairman and co-founder of Watchbox, a growing trading platform for pre-owned luxury watches. Tae is a luminary of the industry as the former owner of Sincere Watch, a family business he took over in the 1980s, expanding the company across Southeast Asia and into Japan, Hong Kong, and South Korea. Sincere Watch was publicly listed on both the Hong Kong and Singapore stock exchanges, becoming one of the biggest watch retailers in the region. In 2015, he joined Danny Goldberg and Justin Reese to co-found the new venture, a partnership with decades of industry and entrepreneurial experience. The business mixes technology and personalized online shopping with high-touch retail service, including at their showroom in Hong Kong, breathing new life into the multi-billion dollar luxury watch industry. Here's Tae Liam Wee now with the story of Watchbox.
I joined the business in 1985. And of course, when I looked at the business, it was a question of determining what is the potential of that business. Back then, we didn't even know that it's a luxury watch industry. It was just a Swiss watch industry, right? And Swiss exports, so I think during that time, was about $6 billion US, Swiss francs to the world. And we said, okay, I think this business, there's a lot of legs to grow. So I joined the family business back in 1985. And I spent the first 8 years building up the business. And when we had the opportunity, I listed the company on a Singapore Stock Exchange in 1993. With that money, I took, we went regional. So from Singapore, the first port of call was we went to Bangkok. And then after that, we opened our stores in Kuala Lumpur. And then it was Hong Kong. And when we came to Hong Kong, it was for the brand distribution business where we signed up a Asian distribution contract to build a brand in Asia outside of Japan. So in Southeast Asia, we were present in all the major countries, Jakarta, Singapore, of course, Kuala Lumpur, Thailand, and eventually Vietnam. And then for Hong Kong, here from this base, we grew to Taiwan and Korea, and that's where we covered the region. We continued to build the business, and in 2004, we also listed our company here in Hong Kong. Yeah, so then we were running a business with two public companies, and during that time, we saw that the market was growing in a very quick way, especially with the entry of China. And China, of course, during that decade, it was driving the growth of the luxury watch business. So that was a great time. And that's when it became a real luxury product. Watches and LVMH, Richemont, they were all competing for their share of the marketplace. And that's when our next phase of development from Hong Kong was to go into China, right? Because that is the fastest growing market. But of course, China, it comes with a lot of issues. The market was heavily protected, right? So there were a lot of barriers to get in. And I suppose that was the early years where you really have to invest in the brand. And because of that move into China, the largest luxury watch market in the world, that the turn of events for us, we needed to cover and build that footprint. And that was a strategy where we started having discussions with the major players there in China. In 2008, we made a strategic alliance with a company to expand into China. And unfortunately, that year, there was a global financial crisis, and the company that made the acquisition of our company, they went under. And that was a time where I had the opportunity to ring-fence my business and buy it back from them with the private equity group. Back then, it was the L Capital, which was a private equity group backed by LVMH. And we bought the company back, and I continued to run and expand the business till 2012, where we had a revenue in excess of $500 million. And that's when I exited the business. So after that exit, I was looking for the next trend. And of course, by that time, the luxury industry has already reached its very, very peak. And it peaked in 2014. And then there was a contraction. because of the anti-corruption drive by the Chinese government, and the industry went through some kind of contraction. And I took that period to look, and I said the next wave would be an e-commerce business, because all the luxury companies have to look for a digital solution to reach their customers. And that's when I started looking into the US, because in the US, they're at the forefront of e-commerce businesses. You know, the whole country has the ecosystem and infrastructure to support online sales. And that's when I partnered up with my US buddy. And in 2016, we co-founded a company called The Watchbox. And The Watchbox is predominantly an e-commerce platform that buys, sells, and trades luxury watches. So for e-commerce, basically, if you look at the consumers, you know, everything that we do is really to cater to that consumer trend and the consumer attitude towards buying and the consumer taste. And I think more and more, especially with the millennials coming into the market, the way they start their shopping experience is really through the mobile, right, on the internet. And that's where they go in there, they find something that they like, they'll go in there to search for information, to do their research, they'll be asking their community, their friends, whoever, the influencers, getting information, right? And I think that's where they start, and that's the biggest difference, because in the old days where it's brick and mortar, it starts with an advertisement. The customer perhaps see an advertisement, and then they'll go and search for it, and then they'll come to your store. That was the buying process. Whereas now, if something interests them, the first thing is they go Google. They go search for information, and from there it leads their buying experience. And that's where the Watchbox is present in that cyberspace, where we generate a lot of content. We have a studio that generates, produces about 2,000 to 3,000 videos, reviews of watches. And this is all educational materials, which is very helpful for the customers, because instead of coming to the store with the salesman trying to explain to you, they can self-educate, you know, through the videos, explaining to them what is it that they're looking for, and then followed by our client advisors who is on the other side of the telephone or the WhatsApp or an email, where they can interact with a real person. Because the average price of our products is about 12,000 US. So that's a pretty big ticket item to be just buying off the internet. So we need to have that customer client service team that is ready. It's like a concierge providing you with the white glove service, giving you all the information that you need, and you're talking to a person and you can also see the watches. So there are two different experiences. Like in the United States, people do that. I think they're very comfortable online. And once they know that you are a credible player, they have confidence. And of course, the ecosystem allows you, because in the US, the laws and legislation protects the consumers in a big way. So when you receive the watch, you have 14 days to a month to return, and you have all that to protect you. So they can do it very easily, and they are used to that. For example, coming out to Asia, then of course, this is a small city with high intensity. In terms of the watch market, people find it more convenient to come to our customer lounge and meet with our people, bring their watches, and do the transaction here. And that's the reason why we set up in the heart of Hong Kong, like central, where the location is very easy for people to access. We can deal with that in a very comfortable environment. We have been here for 1 year, and it's a very, very encouraging, because this is the largest market in the world. And in terms of the value and the quality and the quantity of watches, it's coming in a rapid way. And Hong Kong, of course, is the freest market. There's no sales tax, there's no importation tax. I think it's the only place in the world where the watches are flowing very easily and very freely. And this is a huge potential. The Hong Kong, I think, is one of the easiest places to set up business. And that's the reason why outside of the United States, we choose to come to Hong Kong. And it's the watch capital of the world. It's the mecca for luxury watches. Right now, it's very interesting, because this space that we're in, last month, there was a major announcement by the Richemont Group, which is one of the major players in the luxury watch industry. And they made an acquisition of a company called Watchfinder. And Watchfinder is this UK-based pre-owned luxury watch company. And I think the industry is finally waking up to the importance of the pre-owned luxury market. And this is their first strategic move, I would say. And I think a lot of things are going to happen very quickly in the next 12 months.
Thank you very much to Tae Liam Wee for sharing the story of Watchbox. Thanks as well to Monocle's Kurt Lin, who recorded this interview in Hong Kong, and to Alex Portfelix, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.